Hey everybody, and we're back. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio, coming to you live from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky, up here on 6th Street in the historic Steam Academy, now, well, formerly known as Johnson Elementary. My name is Chuck.
I'm Jess.
And we'll be with you for the next hour, and joining us on the phone is another special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Hey, everybody. My name is Megan Eberson-Foss, and I am an environmental educator at Pine Mountain Settlement School in Harlan County, Kentucky.
All right. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling in from Harlan County. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
How's the weather down there right now?
Oh, my goodness. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. Happy fall, you guys. There's no better way to really experience the beautiful wonders and colors of fall than in Appalachia and, of course, at Pine Mountain Settlement School. And it's just a beautiful day on campus. And it's just bright and sunny and seasonably warm, but it's wonderful. I'm loving it.
It's a beautiful place, too. Eastern Kentucky, there's no other place in the world like it.
Yeah, it always seems to be a nice cool breeze around those parts.
Yeah, if you get deep in the hollers enough, you'll cool down. So.
That's great. So, Megan, can you tell us, where were you born?
I was actually born in Hyden, Kentucky, which is just a county over from Harlan, at the Mary Breckenridge Hospital there. My sister and I were both born there, and we have... Well, I have, and she has too, and our family have lived in Harlan County for our entire life in a small community on the north side of Pine Mountain called Big Laurel. But whenever you get to rural eastern Kentucky, it's so much easier just to say what county you're from because most people don't really know about the community. So it's so much easier to say Harlan County, but my community is Big Laurel.
Big Laurel.
Big Laurel, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So, Megan, where did you go to school?
I went to elementary school on the north side of Pine Mountain at Green Hills Elementary, and it was, you know, the only county elementary school on the north side. And then, of course, for high school, that meant we had to travel across the mountain every morning over to James A. Kewitt High School. And I completed my high school education there, went to community college at Southeast Community and Technical College in Harlan and Cumberland, which is in, of course, Harlan County as well. And right now I'm pursuing my bachelor's degree through EKU.
Awesome.
Cool. And so for folks who've never been to Pine Mountain or aren't familiar with it, can you describe just to the layman about why that was such a difficult trip to get through Pine Mountain every day?
Absolutely. Pine Mountain is not just one solid mountain. It's actually a 125-mile mountain range that runs from the Virginia and Kentucky line at Brakes Interstate Park all the way down to Jericho, Tennessee. And it is a mountain. If you lived on the north side of the mountain, you woke up extra early for the bus run and you got home extra late because it was such a long commute. So I was extra happy whenever my sister, who's 2 years older than me, got her driver's license. And our mom and dad would let her drive to school sometimes. So that was awesome because I could sleep in maybe about 20 more minutes because regardless, it was still a long commute, but it's definitely a different way of life living in the mountains, but a beautiful way of life.
Yeah, beautiful. And I read Pine Mountain was the first state park. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Pine Mountain State Park was Kentucky's first state park, which is truly amazing. It's actually located in Bell County, and Pine Mountain Settlement School, which is where I'm employed and where I teach environmental education, we were founded in 1913, and we're actually, the Settlement School, it started teaching the environmental education in 72, so we're one of the leading environmental educator facilities in the state of Kentucky, and really in the nation, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit more about, for folks that don't know about Pine Mountain Settlement School and what goes on there and what kind of activities that you have?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It has such an amazing, rich history. Like I said, it was founded in 1913. It was the dream of a local man named William Creech. He was a father. He was a community man. He was a husband. He was a Civil War veteran. And he really saw the need for education opportunities in this area. Most of the children, they couldn't go to school because it was just such a long distance to walk, and their families work, so, you know, it just wasn't available to them. And he had heard of Hindman Settlement School, which is located in Hindman, Kentucky, and how it was a rural school that was built and how it was just offering amazing educational opportunities. So he reached out to the founding lady, Catherine Pettit, there and said, I will donate my land, money, give you connections and opportunities if you will just give us a chance to have a school in this area. And so she traveled to the area, Catherine did, on horseback across that Pine Mountain. Wow. And she toured the area, viewed the land, talked to William, agreed that there was certainly a need for a school to be here for the mountain children. And it's been withstanding since 1913. It served as first a boarding school and then a county school. And then in 1972, we transitioned our focus into environmental education. So schools and groups come to us on field trips and things like that. And we also focus on sustainable living and community programming. And so what we do really right now is we host over 2,000 students a year here. Like I said, they come on field trips. Sometimes they'll just stay for the day. Sometimes they'll stay with us 3 to 5 days, and they just get this full embarking experience of being in the woods and being hands-on and having a true immersive experience. And like I said, we also do a lot of retreats and community programs, and we have a full-functioning, sustainable organic farm here on campus. So we really are doing a lot here.
Certainly. And, you know, my first trip to Pine Mountain Settlement School was a retreat with the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust, which
is
doing incredible work to preserve Pine Mountain and basically protect it for generations to come.
Yeah, I mean, they are just such an incredible partner of ours at the Settlement School, and they're doing just that, Chuck. They are working diligently and had been for, you know, a couple decades now to purchase large tracts of land of the Pine Mountain Range and turn it into preserves and parks and things like that, because a fortunate thing about Pine Mountain, especially in, you know, eastern Kentucky, is the mountain doesn't really have large coal seams. So mm-hmm. that's a benefit of us that a lot of companies don't want to coal mine it. So we're taking advantage of that and you know, definitely trying to support them in purchasing land so it can be, you know, preserved for generations and generations to come. They're just such an amazing, amazing organization.
Yeah, they really are. You know, thinking about the preservation of Pine Mountain, how important an environmental education is, I was just thinking, like, what are some common animals that people, you know, don't get exposed to in other parts of Kentucky that they could find on Pine Mountain?
Oh, what's really cool is Pine Mountain is referred to as the wildlife corridor. It is such a huge component in animal migration. So, I mean, you can really just see such amazing critters on the mountain. We commonly see black bear on the mountain. We have so many amazing birds of prey, hawks and owls, and Pine Mountain is also a huge national and international staple for reptiles and amphibians. We have a huge salamander population. They love the coolness and dampness of especially the north side of Pine Mountain. And we have snakes, and we have just, I mean, a wonderful traffic of migrating monarchs and, you know, other butterflies and dragonfly species. We have rare fish species in our streams. Of course, our frogs and our toads. Just so, I mean, the list is endless. If you want to see critters, this is the place to come.
So it's a really diverse ecosystem, to say the least.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We're referred to as a mixed mesophytic forest. It's a mouthful, which means that it's just a mix of hard and soft wood trees, and it's a water-loving forest. We have such incredible biodiversity, a lot of plant and animal species that only are found on this mountain, and some only found in our James E. Bickford Nature Preserve here on the Pine Mountain Settlement School campus. And as far as mixed mesophytic forests, were really only beaten by a mixed mesophytic forest that's found in Asia. And the only reason they beat us out is because they have a few thousand more feet of elevation than we do.
Wow.
So we're truly a gem in a remarkable place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus the mountains of Appalachia are ancient, so they've been worn down.
Yeah.
You know, they housed an ancient ocean for millions of years.
You find so many huge sandstone boulders here. You'll find quartz pebbles here, and it's just a time stamp of what once was here, which is so remarkable.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of people don't realize, especially, you know, people in Lexington or maybe people that move here from out of state, is that Eastern Kentucky has the largest diversity of trees of anywhere else in North America.
Yes, we do.
And also, you know, the top of Pine Mountain, the breaks, you know, it's commonly referred to as the Grand Canyon of the East, because it's remarkable how that water has carved its way around Pine Mountain.
Oh, yeah, and then, of course, the Red River Gorge is very commonly, you know, visited and toured and things like that. I mean, there are so many gems in this area, and it's so, you know, just wonderful to hear about people who travel from, you know, near and far to come and see, you know, the places that we're so lucky to, you know, call home.
Yeah, and Pine Mountain is the headwaters of pretty much all water in Kentucky, right, or the majority of it.
Yeah, like the Cumberland River, for example, it starts in our city seat of Hardin, right behind the Dairy Queen.
It's
the junction of the Poor Fork and the Martin Fork, and it forms into the Cumberland River, which, of course, winds its way through Nashville and so forth. And there's so many, headwaters that are formed on these mountains with these tiny little streams that just grow bigger and bigger. And, I mean, it really is incredible.
It's the heart of the waterways.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I want to ask you a little bit more about Pine Mountain Settlement School. Who can come out there? Can anybody who's listening right now, can they make a reservation and bring their friends out there and have a get-together?
Oh, of course, and that's what we want so much, Chuck, is, you know, it's really a common question of, you know, is Pine Mountain Settlement School open to the public? Heck yeah, it is. Come solo, bring your friends, bring your family, bring your children, bring just anyone you want. Or like I said, you know, we are so unlimited to potential here. Our campus is open, you know, from around 7 a.m. until dark. We'll keep our gate open so anyone can drive in any day of the week and just drive around and see our historical campus, because we are a National Historic Landmark. You can hike our trails in our nature preserve, and you're just welcome anytime, weekday, weekends. And if you want something a little bit more formal, a little bit more scheduled, you can call our office and you can talk to our office attendant, Jeannie Crane, and she will get you scheduled here. If you want to stay just overnight, we have so many lodging opportunities. We have cabins. We have a dorm-style space. If it's a larger group, they can sleep up to 88 people just in our dorm. You can come and you can eat here. We have a wonderful dining hall. Most of our food is farm-to-table, and you can go right out to our farm, pick the lettuce, pick your greens, pick your tomatoes and beans that you're going to eat that day, and we'll house you, we'll feed you, we'll take you on our trails. If you want to do things solo, you can. We can teach you how to weave on a historic loom. We can teach you dry stone masonry. We can teach you about the Native Americans in this area. I mean, it's really such unlimited potential, and what I really love about the settlement school is in the 3 years that I've been here formally, is I have met hundreds of people from different walks of life, of different races, gender, ethnicities, religions, you know, sexual orientations, whatever, age, location, that all come to Pine Mountain Settlement School for different reasons. And it's so amazing for us to be just this melting pot for different people coming here for different reasons. So whatever you have in mind, just give us a call and we will get you situated and get you fixed up and get you here on our campus.
How important is tourism and people coming to Pine Mountain for your all's local economy? What role does that play?
Oh, it's really huge. You know, in Harlan County, we have definitely felt the burdens and the pain of the coal economy, you know, just going into extinction and not really existing. And so now we have to turn to our assets. Look at what we have here. Look and see what we can offer. What is sustainable? What makes sense? What can we do to bring people here to keep our local economy alive and flourishing, to, you know, really shine a light and form a new identity even on this area. So bringing people to the Settlement School, you know, specifically, we're a private nonprofit, so we really need all that we can get, you know. So more so, just the idea of bringing people to this area is such a huge goal because, like I said, we want to shine a light and show people what this area really is about, what the history is, what the people are like, what the potential is. So it plays a huge part in not only the Settlement School's, you know, stability, but also the county, the state, the region.
Yeah, makes me think of when I'm going to come out there next. I was just wondering, what's your favorite season? What's your favorite time of year? It just seems like, I'm sure everyone's gorgeous in its own right, but...
Of course. All seasons, of course, are remarkable here. But my personal, I can't just choose one. I have to say spring and fall. I just can't do it. Spring and fall are my favorite because it is just astounding to see the mountains and our forests transition into something completely different. The spring, our forests just brighten with color, with such amazing diversity of wildflower species. And, you know, you see the forest floor just covered in color before there's even leaves on the trees. And then, of course, fall color is such a driving aspect for tourism and to get people here. So, of course, there's no better place to see that transition of color than here in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. So, really, the spring and fall are my personal favorites, but, I'm lucky to be here in all seasons.
So, how is that fall color coming along? Don't they say the wetter the summer, the brighter the leaves? Is there truth to that?
Yes, definitely. That's what we're hoping for, and we're definitely already starting to see pops of color, you know, on our buckeye trees and things like that. And so we're starting to see pops of color. We're starting to see, you know, nuts fall from the trees and you know, hearts of bursting flowers releasing their bright orange seeds along with the magnolia trees. And, I mean, it's just really fantastic. And we actually at the Settlement School host a fall color and arts weekend that's coming up in October. And it's such a perfect opportunity for people to come and just see the colors of the mountains. We go to a state park that's in our county, Kingdom Come State Park, which is actually Kentucky's state park that's highest in elevation. So, of course, you get amazing panoramic views of the mountains in transition of color. And that's coming up, like I said, here next month. I think it's October 20th through 22nd. Hold on, let me look just to make sure so I don't tell people wrong. Yep, October 20th through 22nd. And see our fall colors. And we, like I said, we're also hosting an arts weekend where you can learn to weave, you can learn dry stone masonry, you can learn about digital photography and about watercolor painting. So, of course, when the mountains are in transition, that's such a beautiful inspiration for those artists to come out here on campus.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I was blown away by in Pine Mountain Settlement School is the medicinal herb collection. It's in there.
Yes,
that's amazing.
Cool.
And so I just wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that and how that came together and how that ties into your all's programming.
Yeah, it's really cool. So we have a building on campus that we call the Plant Center or Buddy Carr Plant Center. It has just this insane collection of plant species. It was built in 1924, and it has houses the Edward J. Carr Acetum Dried Plant Collection. And, I mean, there are hundreds of jars of roots and seeds and leaves and ground-up parts of plants. And the cool thing about Mr. Carr is that he was a self-taught botanist. He came from California, and he made his way to Kentucky, and he ran a little grocery store, and sometimes people would come into the store and not have money to pay for goods. So he started taking things like ginseng, yellow root, or golden seal in exchange for goods that families needed. And so that really just started this, you know, curiosity and wanting to learn about these local and non-local plants in the area, learn about their medicinal abilities and how people use them locally and things like that. And so over the years, he just collected this insane amount of plants, and we were lucky enough to acquire those plants, and we have them here at the Settlement School, and we actually teach a medicinal plants class to our students, young and old, that come to the Settlement School, and we kind of take a little travel through history and how plants were used, you know, for the well-being and not so well-being of the public. And I mean, having just those resources are really truly amazing.
Oh well, yeah, and I think it's very impressive when you walk in. The shelves are completely lined.
Is there any particular herb that you use for ailments? People are always talking about that sore throat and junk we get here in Kentucky in our chest.
Oh,
What's a good ailment besides a, or what's a good remedy besides bourbon for that?
Well, like my mamma, she makes her tonics, which don't necessarily have bourbon in, but
yeah, they're not
a little
gin
bit
and
more clear, if you know what I mean. So she has her tonics and things like that. And of course, it's so neat to hear, you know, the older generation talk about what they use. Mm-hmm. But personally, I am blessed to not have extreme seasonal allergies, but they do hit me, and there's nothing better that I have found than finding locally sourced honey, which we have, fortunately, on campus. We have hives, and find locally sourced honey and put it in a tea or spread it on some bread, because if you take that in consideration, you know, when the bees are making their way to all of the different plant species in your area, and, you know, with the pollination and so forth, you know, the honey that they end up producing has that plant matter in the honey. So if you put it in your tea or on a piece of toast or whatever you want to do with it in your oatmeal or so forth in the morning, you know, just eat that, you know, every day or a few times a week, and it kind of cancels out those allergens. It's almost like how people will go and get a flu shot, you know, so they get injected with the flu virus in order to fight it. That's what you're doing, is you're kind of injecting yourself with those allergens with that locally sourced honey. And, I mean, like I said, it doesn't really do you any good to go into the grocery store and buy the cute little bear that's full of honey. You know, you need to find something that's local. That way it's specific to you, because whatever plants are bothering your allergies, that's very, very likely going to be found, that plant matter will be found in the local honey that you find and purchase.
That is good to know.
Yeah, great info, Megan. Thank you.
Yeah.
And by the way, just in case people are just joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios, and we're on until 2 o'clock. And we're discussing Pine Mountain Settlement School with Megan Victoria Falce. Is that right?
It's false.
Sorry.
Like true or false. Yeah, a lot of people are unsure how to pronounce it. And actually, the old pronunciation used to be Falce, because my husband has Italian in his blood.
I see.
So, yeah, that's where that comes from.
I see. So I wanted to ask you, Megan, when did you first hear about Pine Mountain Settlement School? And did your parents introduce you to it? Or what did your parents do?
Well, I have literally spent my entire life visiting Pine Mountain Settlement School. I was raised 5 miles from the campus. So, you know, from the earliest that I can remember, my family, my parents, my cousins, my friends in the community, we would come up to the Settlement School for anything and everything, folk dances on a Saturday night, or this annual fair day. We used to have a community pool. I learned how to swim here on campus in our community pool. So, I mean, it's been such a huge staple of my life, so I've been fortunate enough to have known it in my entirety, and now even more fortunate to be able to give back to the place that helped shape me as a person and also help the settlement school work with, you know, my own local community. And my parents, my father, he worked as a coal miner. He worked with mountaintop removal on a strip job. He ran heavy machinery. And my mother, she actually was sort of in the coal mining business, too. She taught miners. She gave them their training and their annual retraining and things like that. And she also, her and my aunt still own a little mom and pop store that's in the Big Laurel community. So she worked, and my father worked and things like that. And of course, my mother attended kindergarten at Pine Mountain Settlement School. My great aunts, my uncles, my cousins, they have worked here at the settlement school. So it's really has been a family affair for me. So it's really been a no-brainer for me to end up here on campus.
So are you still within 5 miles from the settlement school?
I am, yeah. Nice. I'm still just a few miles from campus, not a bad commute at all. I can't complain.
You don't have to go over the mountain?
No, knock on wood, no traveling over the mountain. So I'm right there in my little nest. I got my mamaw living right below me, and my sister and brother-in-law right beside of me. And now myself and husband are right there in our community, and it's wonderful.
So I'm wondering, I feel like coal and coal mining comes up so much. It's such a forefront of political conversations these days. How do you feel being in a community that is constantly mentioned, you know, as part of our environmental dilemma, as part of a economic dilemma?
You know, I feel okay about it. I automatically, you know, at first would want to get defensive. You know, rural, just anyone in rural Appalachia, and then especially of Eastern Kentucky, you know, whenever you hear people talk about your way of life, you get defensive.
For sure.
But now it's really just an open door of opportunity, which is so amazing and so essential for this area. I mean, like I said, my father is a retired, you know, coal miner. Coal allowed me to have a wonderful life, you know, food on my table, clothes on my back, have an education, be able to have so many wonderful opportunities. And the great thing about, you know, my mother and father both, is they were sure to tell my sister and I, you know, be proud of your heritage and the history of where you're from, but also don't limit yourself to ideas and opportunities. So a lot of people, when they hear, and I mean, my father works on campus now, you know, he's on the maintenance staff. He's a retired coal miner, and he works here at the settlement school, you know, so you don't have to have an extreme outlook or opinion or, you know, decision about coal just because you're from or not from this area. You can appreciate the hard work and the innovation and the livelihood that it took for these people to do what they did. And now in this transition of time for my community and my county and my region, it's really tough and it's really hard, but it's potential, and it really is a wonderful way for my generation, our young generation, whose mothers and fathers and grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers worked in coal, to pave a new way of life for the generations that we produce. So, you know, it's hard to see our family and our neighbors struggle with that transition, but you have to see it in a positive light. And I know that's not the easiest thing if you've had your truck repossessed because you couldn't make payments because you've lost your job.
Yeah.
Or you're having to move to an apartment because you can't afford your house payment anymore. Mm-hmm. Or you're having to watch your husband, you know, travel to Western Kentucky where the coal mining industry is still, you know, strong, and leave your family for weeks at a time. I know it's hard for people like that to have a positive outlook, but that's what we're faced with, whether you like it or not. We have to deal with it as hard as it is, and it's such a good reminder of the resiliency of the Appalachian people. You know, we can survive. We can make it. coal or not, we're here to stay, and we're going to make it through, and we're going to prosper. So it's, you know, when I talk to friends and family who were having a much harder time, you know, with the coal downfall in this area, it's you know, it's hard not to cry. It's hard not to, you know, hold their hand. It's hard to, you know, try to make them feel good and positive about it, especially when it's been devastating to them. But like I said, it's happening and it's here. So all we have got to do in order to survive is just think of new and much better sustainable ways to keep our county and our region afloat. So,
well,
I mean,
really,
it's definitely difficult, but like I said, it's here and it's happening, so we've got to deal with it.
Well, it's such a thoughtful and uplifting perspective, and I really appreciate that you took the time to share your opinion about it. I feel like your voice and probably most voices of Appalachia are what's missing from this whole conversation. So it's nice to get a glimpse into someone who lives there about what's really going on.
Yeah, and I know, especially now with, you know, the Silicon Holler, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that discussion of bringing technology jobs and high-speed internet to Appalachia is to you know, basically put high technology jobs, you know, put people to work who are out of work from the coal mines, and to teach them technology, and particularly folks from younger generations. And it seems to me like more and more people from younger generations are sticking around Appalachia rather than going to Louisville or Lexington or bigger cities. And so do you find that to be the case, that a lot of people from your generation are sticking around and staying?
Yeah, I do. And I'm so happy about that. You know, growing up throughout grade school and high school and stuff, when coal was even at its strongest and at a good peak, I had classmates and friends that just could not wait to graduate so they could get the heck out of Harlan. And it was something that was always so hard for me to understand. You know, of course, I've heard the mountains being referenced as like a cage. And I just never understood that. I felt like the mountains were just this nest of comfort and love. And you know, I didn't want to leave. And it's not like I have never had the potential or the ability or the options to leave. It's just I simply didn't want to. And I'm starting to see that more and more with our generations, instead of, you know, our young people leaving to seek out better opportunity, we have finally seemed to come to an agreement of, why go out and seek those opportunities? We should bring them to us,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that's really what we're trying to figure out, is how to bring that opportunity to us so we don't have to leave, so we can stay in the place that we love and care for so much, and how we can help, you know, pick up the pieces of, you know, our parents and grandparents' generations, and once again make this a place that people want to come to instead of wanting to run away from.
Well, I think you all are doing at Pine Mountain Settlement School, I think you all are doing an excellent job of harnessing your talent and your people, and giving folks a reason to, like you said, stay and bring it to you all instead of leaving and finding something else.
Absolutely. I mean, we are, you know, so fortunate to have such an incredible staff and such a remarkable executive director, Jeff Marietta. You know, he really, even though he's not from the area, excuse me, he's an outsider, as we would call it here. It took him no time to find a Kentucky girl and get to the mountains. His wife, Skye.
We all know that story.
Living the dream.
Oh, yeah, of course. His wife, Skye, you know, her mother actually taught here at the settlement school. And so, you know, Skye has wonderful ties to this place. And they actually, Skye and Jeff met out on the Navajo Nation doing Teach for America. And, you know, they met, fell in love. And Skye said, I know where we're getting married. And she brought Jeff to the settlement school and showed him our historical, you know, sandstone chapel. And, you know, if you ever get the chance to speak to Jeff, you know, he'll talk about how on that first drive into campus, he just He knew what the fuss was about. He knew what this place was about. And so, you know, on their wedding anniversary, they were both working here. After, you know, graduating from Harvard and Yale, and they felt the need to come to Eastern Kentucky because they knew its potential and they knew the, you know, essential of reminding the younger generation, you don't have to leave, you don't have to stay there. And like I was saying, Jeff has done such a remarkable job at, you know, finding young people in my community, such as myself, and, you know, people from the county and the region, and bringing them here and giving them an opportunity to keep the settlement school, you know, going and keeping it strong and keeping it, you know, caught up with the times, I guess you can say, and giving them just an opportunity to stay and build the place that they want to, you know, remain at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for example, we have, you know, three AmeriCorps Vistas that just came to campus about a month or so ago. And they're all, you know, in their, you know, early to mid-20s, and they love this area. And, you know, doing a one-year AmeriCorps Vista position at the Settlement School, you know, just opened so many doors of opportunity for them. It allows them to learn about the lifestyles here and so forth, and he just really wants to keep the young people in this area, and it's so great to have that kind of support from someone, you know, especially that, like I said, isn't from here, so, you know, hasn't really had to see the wave of the good and bad.
Sure.
But also that's, you know, is well connected and wants to give you endless resources to help build this place into what it could be, and to keep its rich history as well.
Mm. I feel like Kentuckians, and I think Appalachian and Eastern Kentucky region in particular, I feel like we're so defined by place. Mm. And I think it's hard for people to understand that until they see it, mm. until they experience it, the community and the culture and the people. And I felt like there's been a real, I work at the Carnegie Center, so we focus a lot on promoting Kentucky writers. And the literature and songwriting that's coming out of Eastern Kentucky and Appalachia, there's just, there's nothing like it anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely not. And it's so amazing, just that, like you were talking about, just the history that comes from it. For example, here, you know, the first week of October on the 6th and 7th, we're having a Cecil Sharp 100-year celebration of his visit to Pine Mountain Settlement School. If you're unfamiliar with Cecil Sharp, he was kind of this folk revival, you know, founder. He really seen that a lot of traditional English songs and dances were kind of being influenced by outside regions and areas, and he really wanted to preserve those songs and that literature and the dance. And so for a few years he traveled through Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee and North Carolina looking for these old ballads, these old stories, this old folklore, these dances and so forth. And in 1917 he visited the Settlement School. And of course, it was a boarding school at the time, so there were tons of students from all different walks of life and from all over the area attending school here. And what was amazing is he heard songs that were thought to be lost. He seen dances that were thought to be, you know, lost in the migration from Europe to America. And so he was able to record these dances and these songs and these old folklore stories that, like I said, were believed to have been gone and extinct and wow. muddled and lost just in the transition of time and generation as well. And so he found those things still here at the Settlement School, and we're having a 100-year celebration of his visit at the Settlement School. So there's going to be folk dancing and, you know, traditional music and things like that here. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much amazing history that's still preserved, and I love that there's so many amazing writers and musicians and artists that are sticking to their roots mm-hmm. and not feeling that they need to adjust or change themselves, and they're successful, and they're reaching out to people who have no idea what Appalachia is about, but they know that they find it catchy and heartwarming mm-hmm. and enduring. And, I mean, it's just, you can't be any more proud of those people who were really showcasing the potential of this area.
It's true. Like Barry Lopez says, land shape shapes mindscape. So you hear the curvilinear nature of the hills through the music. You know, you can hear the bounce. You know, you can hear that drive over Pine Mountain
in the songs.
So I wanted to ask you, Megan, you know, a big part of being a AmeriCorps VISTA at the Pine Mountain Settlement School is community outreach and engaging with the community. So how does Pine Mountain Settlement School connect with the local community in Harlan County?
Oh, I mean, we have so many, you know, events and we have so many efforts in doing so. You know, a lot of the staff that are, you know, here with Settlement School, they're local. And we have so many things that we offer the community to stay connected and so forth. For example, we just had our annual community fair day. So we, you know, and it's free to the public. People come in and there are games and music and delicious food. And, you know, there's even a competition that's held where people will bring in their canned goods, you know, their beans, their tomatoes, their sauerkraut, their bell peppers, and they'll compete for the prettiest, you know, canned good, and you'll get a blue ribbon, and if you get a blue ribbon, you get a dollar, you know.
Nice.
And, you know, so we keep these traditions that the people in this area have grown up knowing alive. We are part of the Grow Appalachia program, which is such an amazing program. I mean, it offers free tools and free seeds and free educational workshops to people to grow their own organic garden and keep food sustainable for their family. And so that program is completely free. All you have to do is show up to an X amount of workshops and X amount of meetings, and you get all that opportunity for free. You know, of course, we have our local schools that come to the community. We keep our campus open, like I said, from daylight to dark. You can come drive around our campus, tour our buildings, you know, hike in our woods. We just try to think of ways to keep our relationship strong. We have a wonderful program called Little School, which is completely free to the community, and it's a birth through kindergarten program for early education and literacy. And so 3 days a week for 2 hours, families come from all over the community and even from across the mountain, over in Harlan and so forth. They come and they, you know, spend time with other children and other families, other mothers, other grandparents. They get a free meal for the child and the parent or guardian that brought them. That's completely free. All you have to do is just show up. We try
awesome.
To keep a program discount for local community members. For example, like our Fall Color Weekend, we'll offer that to local community members for just a very small percentage of the price, because we don't only want people from the outside coming in. We also want those that are on the inside coming in,
without a doubt.
So we try to keep as much opportunity open for community members.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, I know we mentioned, you know, school trips, but what other groups are coming out to Pine Mountain Settlement School besides Kentucky Natural Lands Trust or schools?
Well, our mission is to enrich lives and connect people through Appalachian place-based education for all ages, and we do just that. We have visiting school groups, like I said, over 2,000 students a year, which include groups a lot from Louisville and Lexington area, but we even have students that come all the way from Denmark
wow.
to our settlement
wow.
school. We have a group that comes up from Gulf Shores, Alabama, and then we have groups like the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust that choose Pine Mountain Settlement School for retreat opportunities. We have the Rural Urban Exchange that will actually be visiting campus here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We have just so many. We have like Teach for America. They come and have their training and retreat here. We just try to be this host site for anyone and everyone. We actually hosted a couple years ago the Society for Economic Botany Conference here, which is an international conference. Like the year before us, I think they may have been in Brazil or somewhere. And then wow. Here all these botanists from around the world came to Pine Mountain, and they loved it. And do you know why they said they loved it? Because they were actually near a forest and near plants and not in a big city.
Yeah, right.
You know, we have so many people that come here, like I said, just really just so many groups. We have church groups that come. We just had a group come from northern Kentucky, a church, and they spent a weekend doing crafts, pottery and weaving. Mm. I mean, really any group that wants to come, youth groups, just school groups, you know, art classes, band classes, you know, we get kindergartners that come here and hike in our woods and do folk dancing. I mean, so many people can really find use of the settlement school, and we try our best to really make it, you know, make any sort of opportunity here for them. For whatever they want to be here for, we try our best to make it comfortable and accessible and you know, possible.
Yeah, and myself as somebody from Northern Kentucky, you know, I think a lot of folks from Cincinnati or Northern Kentucky or Lexington and Louisville don't realize just how tremendously special Eastern Kentucky is in Appalachia, especially from an ecological standpoint, but also just as you know, the real heart of the character of our state and, you know, who we are and our culture and our history and where we're from. So thank you for, you know, the work that you do at Pine Mountain Settlement School, because I think it brings a lot of people in to make them fall in love with that place, so that when those stupid, short-sighted stereotypes come up, you know, there's a landslide of information to counteract them with.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I hope anyway, that, you know, when you visit Eastern Kentucky and you visit the settlement school, that you feel the spirit of Pine Mountain and you feel, you know, the love and, you know, the possibility that's here. And I welcome everyone to come. Like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, both at Pine Mountain Settlement School. Call our office, visit our website, pinemountainsettlementschool.com. We want you here. We want you to see what the fuss is all about and what, you know, so many people love and enjoy about this area.
Cool. And Megan, the final question I have for you is I want to ask you, where are some of your favorite places to check out in Eastern Kentucky or in Harlan County or in Pine Mountain that maybe people should start off with?
Well, of course, Pine Mountain Settlement School is number one.
Yeah. It's a great spot.
I mean, of course. but, oh, my goodness, I mean, there's so many just amazing little hidden gems and such underrated areas. The Kingdom Come State Park, which is in Harlan County, just a short drive from the settlement school. Like I said, it's highest in elevation of Kentucky state parks. It's, you know, wonderful hiking and beautiful views. That's awesome to go to. I love, love, love the city of Whitesburg and their support of small businesses. Mm-hmm. There's wonderful restaurants there, a beautiful music scene. For example, going on right now is the Mountain Heritage Festival in Whitesburg.
An apple shop is Whitesburg, right?
Yeah, and
shout out to WMMT.
Not mention apple shop, absolutely. I mean, which has been so remarkable in shape in this area as well. Mm. There's, you know, Gabe's Branch Falls. There's some really remarkable nature preserves that are also nearby. Bad Branch Falls, which is in Lesher County, Kentucky, maybe about a 30-minute drive from the settlement school. It's this huge waterfall, and it was actually found by the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust. I'm trying to think of some more places that I like to go. It's so hard whenever, of course, you're put on the spot.
Sorry. That's my fault. My bad.
No. It's okay. I just want to advocate for everybody. I mean, just so many wonderful food options and little shops and little thrift stores. And if you just want to immerse yourself in the woods, find a local state park. Find a local nature preserve. You will not be disappointed. And, of course, the settlement school is always here to, if you just want to give us a call, and we'll give you a list of resources, a list of, you know, really cool local museums and areas to go to, and hopefully that will help you out for your planned visit as well.
That sounds awesome. And so what are the best ways that, you know, us here in Lexington listening to this, or anyone outside of Eastern Kentucky, can not only support Pine Mountain Settlement School, but can also help support the people of Appalachia?
Just spread the word. Spread the word. You know, tell people about us. Come visit for yourself so you can really understand what you're advocating for. You know, for Louisville and Lexington, you have things like Bernheim Forest and the River Gorge that are within such a short drive, so it's easy to go to those places. And not saying that any is better than the other, you know, but give more rural places like, you know, Bledsoe, Kentucky, where Pine Mountain Settlement School is, a chance, and just advocate for those people. You know, we've had visitors come that have really been apprehensive about visiting Eastern Kentucky because of things that they've heard about the area. Mm-hmm. And when they come here, they say, well, shoot, the people are so much more nicer, and the food is much more better, and the air is much more cleaner, mm-hmm. and I don't want to leave this place, you know, and just really just advocate for the area, talk, spread the word, you know, visit. And that's really just the best, you know, for a rural area is word of mouth, social media, you know, like I said, like our Facebook, like our Instagram, visit our website, you know, tell your children's teacher about Pine Mountain Settlement School and their environmental education opportunities. Just spread the word and just be an advocate for where you're from, or even just places in your state, because we're all in this together. So, I mean, you have to pick each other up.
Yeah,
for sure.
You said it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Well, Megan, thank you again so much for joining us on the show. It's been an amazing conversation, and, you know, we really appreciate all the hard work that you do in preserving such a beautiful part of the planet.
Yes,
oh, it's not
you.
Just me. It's definitely my team, but I appreciate you guys so much for giving me a chance to shine a light on a place and region and area that I love so much. This opportunity has been wonderful. Thank you.
It's great. And so we've been talking with Megan Victoria Faust, who is an AmeriCorps Vista at Pine Mountain Settlement School. So I would encourage people, you can check out their website, go follow them on Facebook, Pine Mountain Settlement School, see all the cool things coming up. And finally, what are some events coming up that people can come down and check out?
Oh, we have, like I said, the Cecil Sharp celebration. So that's going to be traditional music and dance and great food and conversation about the area. We have Fall Color and Arts Weekend. Weave on a, you know, historical loom, learn dry stone masonry, see the fall foliage of the area. You know, we have like a bee and honey workshop coming up. So any beekeepers or anyone who's just interested in that sustainable method. We have a mushroom production workshop coming up in November. Then, of course, we have our over 100-year nativity play coming up on December 17th. So you can find all of these events on our website. Just, you know, take just a few minutes and give us a view and find something that calls out to you or piques your interest, and we would love to have you here.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a great day.
Yeah,
enjoy this
care.
Beautiful day.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So, thank you. So, so that was Megan. Megan from Pine Mountain Settlement School. All kinds of amazing education that they're doing down there. Environmental education, teaching people about such an amazing, unique ecosystem.
Yeah, I'm ready to carve out my fall weekend to go down there and take in the school and everything around it.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky is like no other.
Yeah.
So, nonetheless, we're going to sign off, but we'll be back next week. But until then, this is Chuck.
I'm Jess.
And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And if you're listening to the re-air of the show, which airs every Saturday at 11 a.m. here on WLXU, I hope you're already having a great weekend. But nonetheless, we'll see you soon. Take care and catch you later. Adios.